Amen. That is a good song. And just love it. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. We're going to start in Hebrews 11. And I was praying about what to preach for today. And the Lord led me to deal with faith. And then coming to Sunday school. And I really wasn't in Sunday school at all last week. And I didn't really realize that y'all are dealing with faith. Amen. And so that is a blessing. That was a perfect foundation for the message today. And if you haven't been a part of the Adult Sunday School and you are able to do, I would encourage you to be. And because he's going over the foundational things there of Hebrews in reference to the things that we should have down in our Christian lives. Amen. If we're going to be able to grow and not be a child in our Christianity. And so that is good. And then if you do want to give to the building or anything else, you can do that online or even just through the offering. But we definitely need some more funds before we can complete those things. And so and I know we had talked about maybe getting a campaign together too, about being able to reach out to others. I still want to do that. We just haven't had time. But if you know some people that might want to give towards the building, and we're kind of, it's more for the youth than anything, getting all the youth able to be in the one building for the majority of youth night. And it'll definitely enable us to do some things with that. But we'll go ahead and get all that going as well. But I appreciate everyone's part in that. Amen. It's exciting to see concrete out there. And I was sorting out some metal yesterday, getting it ready. And I can't wait to see that go up. But it is a blessing. And God is good. Amen. And God's given us these things not so that we can just say, hey, look, we built buildings, but so that we can use them to teach and preach his word unto people that need to hear it. Amen. And so Hebrews 11, 6 is where we will start. And it says this, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're going to talk about faith today. And in the Bible, there's two individuals that Jesus said had great faith. I don't know about you, but I want to be found in company with those that have great faith. Amen. I don't just want to have a little faith. I want to have great faith. And I would hope that you would say that as well, that you want great faith. Amen. As a parent, by the way, I want to make sure my kids have, and that's what we've kind of done, is set them up to have faith. Amen. And we're going to look at some things in reference to faith today. There's a way to set them up to have faith, and there's a way to keep them from faith. And by the way, you can come to church every week of your life and never have faith. Amen? And so it's not just about coming to church, but the Bible gives us the means by which we can have faith. Amen? And so faith is vital. It's vital. Amen? By the way, faith is not about our likes and our dislikes. It's not about our reason, what we see reasonable or not, but it should be behind everything we do and everything we occupy our time with. We ought to be able to give a reason for give an answer for the reason behind everything we do by the Word of God. That's faith. We're going to find that faith is our belief in God. Faith is basing our life not, it's on a source of truth, but that source of truth, biblical faith, would be we base our life on the Bible. Amen. And we're going to see some things in reference to that today. Well, the Bible does put a lot of credence on faith. We already saw here in Hebrews 11, 1, it said, without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please God. Is it important that we please God? Do you want God against your life? If God is against your life, can you prosper? That's interesting. So we need to be on God's side then. Us and God need to be in harmony. There needs to be a harmonious agreement between us and God, or we're in trouble. Does that make sense? Because he is over all. Look over at Deuteronomy 32. This one's really good. Deuteronomy 32, 20. I want to give you a few more verses here. I'm not going to have you turn to all of them, but this one I want you to remember. Deuteronomy 32, 20. This is profound. Deuteronomy 32, 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a froward generation, children in whom is no faith. If you have no faith, God said, he hides your face from you. I know this is directly written to Israel, but this is a principle of Scripture. that if you have no faith, God will hide his face from you and he'll sit back to watch to see what your end will be. You know, I know you've heard me say it a number of times that a lot of times I just grab the popcorn, sit back and watch. God does that. I don't know that he grabs Orville Redenbacher, amen, but he does sit back and watch, doesn't he? He says, you know what, you don't want me involved, that's fine. I'm going to sit back and watch how it works out for you. That's what happens when we have what? No faith. We need faith, don't we? We need great faith. 2 Thessalonians 3 says this. Finally, verse number 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So if someone doesn't have faith, they become unreasonable and wicked. Wicked means that their life is ordered after a means by which it's not of God, so it's not good. God is good. Right? And if it's not according to God, then it's evil. It's wicked, right? And that's from God's take on things, and that's what we subscribe to. Amen? Verse 3 in this text says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So if we have faith in the faithful Lord, then he will establish us, he'll fix us, he'll put us in a good spot and enable us to be good. Isn't that amazing? But if we have no faith, then we become unreasonable and we become wicked. Romans 5 in verse number 1 says this, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And so it's by faith I have access into his grace so that I can stand. And if I can't stand, then I'll fall. And so it's by faith then that we can stand. Through grace, but it's by faith. Without faith, I don't stand. So without faith, I cannot please God. In Deuteronomy, it said that if you are one who has no faith, that God will hide his face from you. He'll watch and see what your end will be. And in 2 Thessalonians, it says if you have no faith, you become unreasonable and wicked. And then in Romans 5, it says that it's by faith that we have access to grace so that we can stand. Sounds like we need faith. In Romans 11, in verse number 21, or verse 20 and 21, it says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. That's in reference to Israel. Because Israel had no faith, they were broken off out of God's tree, if you will. And then we get grafted in by faith. So without faith, I cannot be grafted into Christ. I cannot be grafted into what God is doing. I can't be a part of that, you see. It all happens by faith. Romans 14, verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if I'm not living by faith, that means I'm living in sin. How important is faith? It's vital. I hope that through the message today, you learn even more about how important faith is, and that you become vested in not only having faith in your life, but for those that you have opportunity with, maybe children, maybe family, maybe friends, coworkers, others around you, I hope that you become vested to let God use you to help them have faith too. Amen. God, help us today. Do a great work through this message. Help us. It's a practical message. It's a needed message. God, we need faith today. And I pray that we have it. Just because we're in church doesn't mean we have it. Just because we carry a Bible doesn't mean we have it. Just because we wear clothing that maybe isn't revealing our nakedness and isn't in such a case that the wicked would flaunt, that doesn't mean we have faith. God, just because we do some things, maybe even after the Word of God, doesn't mean we have faith. God, I pray you'd help us to learn some things about faith today that might we strive for, might we desire it. And then, God, might we want it bad enough that we might even help others to gain it. Move mightily in our midst, I pray, through this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Look over at Matthew 15. Matthew 15. How important is Bible faith? Well, we found it's very important. And we're going to develop a good definition for faith after we look at this passage here in Matthew 15. Can I say, as a parent, we were Dayton and I were challenged in the area of schooling our children. We decided, well, a long time ago, that we were going to homeschool our kids. Dana was a little unsure at the beginning, amen. I talked her into trying it for a year, and she did, and we never looked back, amen. And I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for that. And if you can't homeschool, I get it. It does take time, difficult. I understand all that. But we chose that option because as we looked at the public school system, which both of us were educated in, and we looked even at Christian schools, different things, we felt like God was saying to us, Deuteronomy 6, that it was our responsibility, and that I had come to the conclusion that if all my kids learned through the 13 years of schooling that we had planned to give them, if all they learned was how to read and how to know God, that was enough. I know all kinds of, we know a lot of different people that they're searching out the best curriculum for science, not like science, the best curriculum for math, and you all know I love math, amen, the best curriculum for history and the best curriculum for all that. I guess I confess to you today that we didn't look at none of that. All we wanted was a curriculum that our kids would be moved to know God in. That was it. And so the primary thing that I felt like we had to have in a curriculum was it had to be local church Baptist based. That was primary to us. And we only found one curriculum that is that way, and that was Landmark Freedom Baptist Curriculum. I still think that's the case. I don't know of another. ACE's not. Abeka's definitely not, right? Bob Jones is not. Hooked on Whatever is not. I mean, all these. And like I said, I'm not saying that those are bad for you to use. I'm just saying when we looked at, remember, the whole thing I was looking for was a curriculum that would point our children simply to the Word of God and to have faith in God. That was it. The academic side, I knew would take care of itself. Amen? And so that's what we did, and that's why we went the route we went. Amen? Now, keep in mind, you as a parent, you as an individual, for those that you affect, you have to do what you do for the reasons you do what you do. I'm just telling you, the reason we did what we did was academics was secondary. Them knowing God was primary. Does that make sense? But I would say this. I don't see very many people that have that thought today. And it troubles me. Amen? I believe faith is primary. And if I can do something to help somebody have faith, then that's what I'm interested in. Honestly, I'm not interested in anything else. Because if they'll have faith, they're going to be just fine. If they'll know God, they're going to be just fine. But if they learn science and they miss God, they ain't going to be fine. Does that make sense? If they learn sports and miss God, they ain't going to be fine. If they learn how to be a good Baptist in the sense of servicing the machine and they don't know God, they ain't going to be just fine. You see what I'm saying? They got to know God. They have to have faith. That's primary. And that's been a driver in my life. Amen? And I hope that it's a driver in yours. And by the end of this message, I hope it's more of a driver in your life. Look at Matthew 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Okay, so she was not a Jew, yet a Gentile, but said, "I know that Jesus has something that I need. I have to have it." And so she was willing to come and to beseech him in such a way that most would not. I want to give you just a couple of observations from this. We find from this text, in this one that God said this woman had great faith, we find that she sought out the Lord. She sought him out. We find that she came to the Lord to tap into his great power. That's why she came. Amen. We also find from this text that she was seeking the Lord to intervene in spiritual matters, specifically for her daughter. We also find that she came worshiping. She bowed before the Lord. She yielded herself to him in a very humbling manner. We also find that she was seeking the Lord for help. We also find that she did not get offended when he said, "What I have is not for you." It caused her to become more dedicated to finding it. It's almost like a Jacob Esau scenario. Esau had the birthright. He thought little of it. Jacob didn't, but said, "I want it." And he was willing to strive for it. Amen. And I find that God actually likes that part when we do that. Amen. We also find that in reference to this woman who had great faith, that knowing God's word, being able to reason in it, knowing it good enough to reason in it is where she was at. She knew what God could do. She knew that the salvation that he had, the help that he had, was primarily to the Jew in that day. But it did not stop her. She said, "Yea, Lord, but can we not eat of the crumbs that fall from your table?" Amen. She knew, but yet said, "I'm not going to be satisfied until I have what only you can give." Amen. That's important. And then we also find that not taking no for an answer was a good thing here. Amen. God says, "Nope, not for you." She said, "But Lord," and she besought him. How? By faith. She had to have faith or else she would have turned away. Let me ask you this. What stops you in your Christianity? What stops you is a telltale sign of where your faith is. Right? Do you know why a lot of people are okay missing church? They don't believe it's important. Here's what I believe. I believe it's important. Why? Because the Bible says. Amen? What's the Bible say? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Said, does that really mean that? Oh, sure, you can watch some theologian that talked himself out of the Bible a long time ago. You can watch some theologian, you can come up with that and say, that's not what that's talking about, all you want. But you know what? I know that's what it's talking about. Amen? How? By faith. And so because that is an anchor of my life, by faith, then nothing else matters. It has to happen. Does that make sense? And I can go on and on and on. So by faith, we live by faith. We need great faith. Faith is believing the word of God. Faith is setting some anchors in our life by the word of God. By the way, who all can give you salvation? Only one. None other name given among men whereby we must be saved. What's his name? Jesus. Only Jesus can give us salvation. Who are you going to seek salvation from? Well, only Jesus. Why? The Bible says. This is what faith is. She said, and this woman said, there's only one that can heal my daughter. Only one. His name's Jesus. I got to get to him. And she did. And she didn't give up. Amen. Anybody ever hear something that offended them? Yeah. Amen. Amen. John 6, Jesus said some things that offended the people. And what did most of the disciples do? They went away. And Jesus turned to the disciples, the apostles, specifically there, and said to them, "Will thou also go away?" And what did they say? "How can we? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You see, it changes everything when we have faith in him. Now things that would offend no longer offend. Things that would cause us to move aside and quit or stop, no longer do that. Why? Faith. Great faith. This woman had great faith. So great faith is believing God as he is revealed in the Bible and accepting it as reality. I would say this, our understanding of the Word of God should be more real to us than the things that we see with our God-given eyeballs. Because we can be deceived with what we see, and we're warned not to be deceived, but to prove all things. Amen? Look at Hebrews 4. We're close to that, I believe. Hebrews 4, 2. Without faith, we do not profit from God and his word. I'm trying to preach to you today the importance of faith. I laid a foundation early on about the need for us to have faith. Without it, we cannot please God. If we don't have faith, we will actually, according to Deuteronomy, God will hide his face from us. And we will not have his direction. We found that in 2 Thessalonians, if we do not have faith, we become unreasonable and wicked. We found in Romans that faith is our access to the grace we need so that we can stand. We find that in Romans 11, that without faith, we're broken off in a sense. Well, not broken off because Israel is broken off, but we'll never be grafted in. We'll never be a part of God's things apart from faith. We also found in Romans 14 that without faith, we just sin, right? We live a life of sin. And so in Hebrews 4:2, listen to this. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Do you realize that as the word of God is preached, some people today will get more out of the word than others? And not just simply because they're smarter or they have more intellect or they're able to understand the English language, but no. Listen. A child in this room that doesn't know a whole lot but just believes God will get more out of this message than the adult who's gone through Bible school if they do not approach the Word of God by faith. Isn't that profound? I love that about God. I love that about the Word of God. Amen? If faith is not mixed in your heart with the word of God that's being preached, what's being preached will not profit you. You'll leave the same way you came in. I mean, the glorious gospel, it's by the word of God that God spoke all things into existence. The word of God creates things. It makes things happen. It accomplishes things. It's effectual, but it'll do nothing for you if there's no faith. Isn't that amazing? Amen, preacher. Amen. I agree with you. I agree with you, preacher. Thank you. I agree with you too. That's good stuff. Amen. Romans 14 and verse number 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So without faith, we cannot profit from God and his word. Without faith, I am damned. And without faith, 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12 says that I can't be saved. I cannot be delivered from my sin. With that in mind, I believe that faith is a must. Do you? Do you believe that faith is primary in your life and not just secondary? Because most people treat Christianity like it's secondary. They treat church like it's secondary, their Bible like it's secondary, their relationship with God like it's secondary, like everything Christ is back there, and everything that's going on in my life is the most important thing. That's how most Christians live their life, right? But we're told that the just shall live by faith. Are you living by faith? What is our faith to be based on? I want to give you seven things today that faith should be based on in your life. I was just talking to a guy, I guess it was Thursday. We were out in a Bible, we had a Bible tent set up, handing out Bibles, and I was out walking around talking to people and came across this guy. He's sitting there, and I tried to hand him an invite and talk to him, and he didn't want that invite. But instead of just taking no for an answer, amen, I asked him a question, and he responded. And I ended up talking to him for an hour, amen. And he tried to challenge my faith, which that's fine with me. I want you to challenge my faith, just like I want to challenge yours, amen. Amen, amen. And so he says, oh, faith. So you basically believe in God without any proof. I was like, no. So the Bible says there's many infallible proofs. And I start going into the proof. He wanted to get off that conversation really quickly. Amen. Why? He has no faith. And my faith is substantial. It's not just a shot in the dark. It's not some blind leap. Amen. It's not. And your faith shouldn't be either. Amen. And so in Acts 1:3, it's where God says that he says, to whom also by showing himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. One of the things that Brother Stallman said in his school of evangelism was this. He was mentioning the Mormons, and he says, it's been stated that it's believed that Mormonism as it is in America will die by the end of this next generation. And he says the reason is that the Book of Mormon is actually full of all these prophecies that have not come to pass. And names of cities and places and all these things that are just, they're not proved out. And he said this, he said, no archaeologist puts their stamp of approval on the prophecies found within the Book of Mormon because they're lies. But can I say, you go digging up rocks where the Bible speaks and you'll find things there. You say, is your faith in archaeology? My faith is in God, but it sure is nice that God has given us many infallible proofs to back up his word. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. That should strengthen your faith. That should be faith building. Amen. Our faith is not just a blind leap. Amen. History, by the way, history aligns with the details of Scripture. Luke was just given a story about two that were asked about if you could go back and talk to anybody in the past, anybody at all, who would you talk to? And an actor and actress said, Jesus. Jesus is a historical figure. He walked this earth. Amen. Moroni didn't. Amen. They just didn't. And by the way, Muhammad did, but he's still in the grave. Jesus is the one who his word has been fulfilled. It'd be nice to go back and have a chat with him, amen? I'm looking forward to chatting with him in glory, amen? Looking forward to it. History backs it up. Archaeology backs up the Bible. Our lives fall in line with the precepts of the... Listen, when I study this book and I counsel people, I counsel them not based on my experience. Too many Christians do that. Well, it worked for me. Hogwash, that's too bad, amen, that you're going back to that. I got something better to go back to. Not my human experience, but I got the Word of God to go back to. When I counsel based on the Scriptures because that's what's infallible. Not what worked for me. Well, amen. Amen. Isn't this exciting? I'm trying to talk you into being more interested in faith. Amen. Many infallible proofs. Number two, what is our faith based on? Our faith is based on convincing testimonies from God's people. Many of you don't know me from before I got saved. My wife does. Amen. But in here, my kids definitely don't. But if you knew me from before I got saved, you would know my life has been transformed. Old things passed away. All things have truly become new. But it's not just me. Acts 4, 8 through 12, we find that there's another testimony here. It says in this text, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, If we this day be examined of the good deeds done to this impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. It's by Christ this man was healed. This is the stone which was set of naught of you builders and has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. By the testimony of Christ's work on earth, who he healed and who he delivered everywhere he went. He fed 5,000. He fed 7,000. He was a man of miracles. These are recorded for us because it's true, amen. But it's not just there. What about even in our own lives? People like myself, people like Luke. Luke has a testimony, a miraculous testimony of God's deliverance, amen. All around us are testimonies. We all have a testimony that are born again. These testimonies are powerful. What about the testimony of Paul the Apostle's conversion? When he went from Saul to become Paul, one who was killing people like you and I, to now he is a leader amongst those. Amen. This was Paul's testimony. This is, by the way, what he used when he testified to King Agrippa. And through that, King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." What did Paul use to persuade him? His testimony. Testimonies are powerful. Powerful. Amen. And there's many, many conversion testimonies. My faith is based on infallible proofs that God has put all around us in the archaeological record, in the historical record, in how life works, the principles of life, how things work. Amen. My faith is based on testimony, convincing testimonies. My faith is also based on a convincing that took place in me by the Spirit of God. In 1 John chapter 5, 1 John 5 and verse 6, it says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." In John 6, it tells us, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Verse 8 says, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." It's the Spirit of God that convinced me that I was a sinner. It was the Spirit of God that showed me Jesus and what righteousness really was. It's the Spirit of God that has revealed to me that I must give an account. Amen. And the judgment that would come. It's God's Spirit. I have faith because God's Spirit has moved in my life. Amen. We know that we're to prove all things by the Word of God. This proving of all things, holding fast to that which is good, is a testimony of the Spirit of God's working in my life. Amen. This is how we are then to prove or base our faith on things in the Word of God. Amen. We have many infallible proofs. We have convincing testimonies of God's working, and we have God's Spirit working. Let's go ahead and jump to this for sake of time. How can we gain faith? How then do we gain faith? If faith is not a leap in the dark, if faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's tangible, amen. If faith is something we must have to please God, if faith is what we need to be born again, if faith is what we need in life so that we don't become a reprobate and we don't become one that God would turn from, if we need faith, how then do we get it? Let me give you a couple ways that you can gain faith. And I would encourage you to write these down and employ all of these in your life. Amen. Are you satisfied where you're at today with your level of faith? I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with me. I'm not satisfied with what I think, how I feel, who I am, what I've done. I'm not satisfied with me at all. But I know this, God has a lot for me. And I want to be an open vessel for him to fill. Amen. Because it's then and only then that I can be meat for his use. I can be a vessel of honor and meat for the master's use. Amen. How do we gain faith? Number one, I believe we gain faith by listening to the testimonies of God's people. Testimonies are powerful. I mentioned a minute ago that when Paul spoke there to Festus and King Agrippa, he gave his testimony. And he said, this is how God changed my life. Do you have one of those testimonies? Did you ever tell anybody your testimony? I wrote mine in track form. Is yours so complicated you can't quite get it in track form? Is yours so hard to figure out that you just can't get it into words? I just know what happened. I can't articulate it. That's a problem. Because God wants you to articulate it. God wants you to be able to tell others how he saved you. And if you can't explain it, it probably never happened. So what? Listen, you ever try to teach something that you can't explain? You ever try that? What's it really mean? It means you don't understand it. It means you don't have a grasp on it. Right? Amen? Amen. If Jesus Christ, if you've had an encounter with Jesus, he's radically transformed your life. That shouldn't be hard to articulate. Paul didn't have a problem. Amen? You shouldn't have a problem. Listening to testimonies is powerful. Do you know what one of the things we do under the tent is? We give a testimony of somebody. Hope gave a testimony the other night. She's a gal that they recently, she came up to be a part of the tent meeting and all. That's a neat testimony. It's interesting, amen. There's some aspects of it, though, that we're like, whoa, that was kind of interesting, amen. I love hearing testimonies. By the way, I never listen to a testimony and say, no, don't say that. No, your testimony is your experience of how God saved you. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. It might not have elements in it that everybody will like, but if it's your testimony, that's fine. Give it. Amen. Don't be ashamed of it, because testimonies are powerful. If you want your faith to be gained, if you want your faith to be increased in your life, listen to people's testimonies so that you can see how God works. Because I guarantee you this, God works in ways that are outside of your box. You may not like it. You may be uncomfortable by it. But it's important. Well, amen. Number two, if you want your faith increased, number one, listen to the testimonies of others that have been affected by God. Number two, you need to read the Word of God. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 3 says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We gain faith when we read the Word of God. So watch this. Have you, in the past week, have you heard somebody's testimony concerning Christ? Yes? Amen. That's a faith-gaining activity. Number two, in this last week, hopefully every day, have you read the Bible? With the intent to learn. Like, I've read it, I'm engaged. I'm not just reading, going through the motions, and I'm really thinking about this when this is going. Do you ever read and you really didn't read? Oh, I hate that. Amen? I mean, have you read the Bible? Amen? If you have, good news. That is a faith-building exercise. Amen? How about study? Look at 2 Timothy 2, not just verse 15. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 19. I appreciate Brother Luke's class. He's going over passages, and then you're kind of engaging in a study of some of those passages. Amen? That's important. We're studying the Word of God. That's what we need. Amen? 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Are there any profane and vain babblings in our world concerning Christianity and the doctrines of God? Have you ever listened to those? I have. Have you ever? Well, how do we get those out of our lives so that we can just believe the plain scriptures? By study. We study the Word of God, and it weeds out the profane and vain babblings, which we pick up through our lives. Sometimes because we really want something to be true. We really want certain things to be true, and only through study do we realize they're not, right? And so study. It says their word will eat at the canker. So false teachings will eat at us and be cancerous in us. Is cancer good? If you're like, go to the doctor and they say, you have cancer. You're like, yes. Yes, because that's good for me, right? Is that what we say? No, we say, oh, if you get a cancer diagnosis, you're like, oh, that ain't good, right? Well, the Bible says that false teachings, false sayings, these things that we pick up that are not according to truth, they actually are cancerous in you, which means that they'll infect you and they'll grow and they'll destroy the good out of your body. That's what cancer does. It attaches to the good and it kills it, right? Well, the Bible says that profane and vain babblings, things that people say that are not according to truth, will increase unto more ungodliness because they grow like cancer does in you, right? And the only way to get those out is by studying the true word of God. Verse 17 says, their word will eat as doth the cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. See that? It's against the truth. Saying that the resurrection is past already. And overthrow the what? The faith of some. If our faith is built on just the sayings of others, and we're not studying to prove these things out for ourselves, we're not gaining faith, we're losing faith. It destroys your faith. Faith is not a once and done. Now, salvation is, but do you know that there's people that have been saved, and then they've gone off into different schools and different churches, and they actually go backwards in their faith, not forward. They lose faith. It's on you then to continually study so that you can increase in faith. Most people think, I went through Bible college, I've learned enough. No. If anything, that was just the foundation, hopefully, of a life full of study. If you teach a class, if you teach a Sunday school class, I hope that you don't just rest in what you used to know. I hope you don't just rest in what you knew last year and a year before that and 10 years before that and 20 years before that. I study for every message I preach is fresh. Even if I go back and pull notes out, I'm using it as a guideline to study it afresh. I'm not like an evangelist that has 10 messages that's all you preach that year. I'm sorry to say that's how a lot of them do it. Every message that I preach from this pulpit is new. I've studied it out. I've sought God. I've asked God to show me today what the people need, what I need. They are going through things right now that they need to understand. What can I lead them in? They need faith, you see. And so that's how I believe God leads us to. And it says in verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if we're going to gain faith, we should be listening to, hearing the testimonies of God's people. By the way, the best way to do this, when you talk to somebody, say to them, hey, can you share with me how you got saved? Around the tent, that's popular. But can I say, that should be popular around our life. And if you don't like it when someone asks how you got saved, that's a problem. Because that's how we're helping somebody else in their faith when we give our testimony. Amen? I got to give my testimony to the School of Evangelism. And I got to tell of how God brought me to salvation. And how God brought me to this point. That's a blessing. When they said to me, would you mind, it was that night before, Brother Stallman said, would you mind sharing your testimony in class tomorrow? And I was like, that'd be great. I didn't think, oh man, now I got to go study and write down. I don't have to do that. Do you know why I don't got to study to give my testimony? Man, I was there when it happened. It's fresh. Amen. And if your testimony is one of those where, man, I got to write it all down. I got to have, got to. Man, something's wrong with your testimony. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. Just tell people what happened when you got saved. It'll build their faith. Read the Word of God. It will build your faith. Listen to the Word of God. We didn't really cover that, but I'll say it in Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. That's easy today, amen, with all the apps we have. And then study the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2. And then 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 24, it says that we need to sit under preaching. For the preaching of the cross, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's that done? It's done under preaching. Where is the wise? And by the way, you might not like everything a preacher has to say. But just ask God to teach you through it. Ask God to show you something through it. Ask God to reveal things through that preaching. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the wisdom, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Is God saying here that preaching is foolishness? No, but the world thinks it is. But you and I as Christians understand that it's the power of God. It's amazing. I love sitting under preaching. Amen. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. But unto them which we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, but Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Do you want your faith to increase? Then sit under preaching. We've had opportunities every day this last week to sit under preaching. Some people don't go because, man, it's just hard sitting in those chairs. I know, I got a comfortable chair. I got a cushion chair. Bring a cushion. A lot of you do that for church. We got cushion pews and you still bring a cushion. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Bring a cushion. Amen. It's chilly. Bring a coat. Do you want your faith to increase? Because that's where it will happen. It ain't going to happen at the ball field, but it'll happen under preaching. Well, amen, amen. Number six, how does our faith increase? By reasoning with God's people. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Acts 17, Paul, as his manner was, verses 2 through 4, he went on the Sabbath day and he reasoned with them. He reasoned with the Jews. Acts 24, King Agrippa, Paul just gave his testimony. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But with Felix, the governor, Paul reasoned with him out of the scriptures. He reasoned. Do you know what we should be doing with each other? Is reasoning with each other. Don't get upset that someone doesn't believe like you. Well, they believe that a woman should dress like this instead of getting all, find out why they believe that. Say to them, what led you to that belief? Someone like myself, you believe we ought to be in church every time the doors are open. Instead of getting all cantankerous about it, come talk to me about it, right? Reason with other believers. Don't get upset about it. That one guy I talked to the other day for an hour, one of the last things he said was, I've enjoyed our conversation. You didn't get mad or anything. Like, why would I get mad? We're reasoning through things. I'm not upset with you because you don't believe the word. He doesn't believe the word of God. He doesn't believe it at all. Thinks it's a fairy tale. He thinks I'm crazy for believing it. But did I get mad? No, it didn't offend me one point. Didn't hurt. He even said a couple times, I'm not trying to hurt you. And all. Doesn't bother. I can care less what you, be honest with you. I don't care what you believe. But I do care what God believes, and I believe you need to believe it. So am I going to get upset because somebody has a different view on things? If you look around in this room, there's 50 other views on things, on certain things. We all don't agree on everything, but you ought to be concerned why they believe what they believe. Why? Because through that exercise, you'll gain faith. You need faith. I need faith. Amen. Seven. What does it take to gain faith? Having ears to hear the word of God. Acts 3:23. It shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed. Malachi 2:2. If ye will not hear, if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, but ye did not lay it to heart. That's in Malachi 2:2. Listen, you have to have an ear that will hear. In Luke 8:5-8, 8:11, and then Luke 8:11-15, the parable of the sower. Four different ways people receive the word of God. Four different types of soils listed there. You need to have good soil. The soil that will hear the word, allow the word to come in. There's a lot of things we want to reject and not let in. But the word of God, you must be open to it. You might say, I don't want to listen to that, because if I listen to that preaching, it's gonna move me to depart from this part of my life, which I like. I like my music. I like my dress. I like the way I live. I like the fornication I'm involved in. Man, if you close yourself off to the word of God because you're trying to protect some sin that you like, what have you done? You've kept yourself from faith. And if you keep yourself from faith, you cannot prosper. God will step back from you and grab the popcorn and say, let's just see how your life turns out. We must have faith. Amen. I mean to say this, prayer does not increase your faith. I've heard people say over and more lately, well, I pray. Yeah, but your life's a mess. Your language is a mess. You're not following God. You're not interested in God. They'll say, yeah, but I pray. I pray. Prayer does not increase faith. Prayer comes out of a heart of faith. I have faith, it moves me to pray. I don't pray, and then I have more faith. Matter of fact, if you pray without faith, it's you trying to manipulate God to get your way. And then when you don't get your way, it pulls you away from God. You see, serving God does not increase faith. You might be like, what? No. Service to God apart from faith creates a hypocrite, creates a proud person. My service to God is born out of my faith. Because I believe God, because I believe the word of God, I then allow God to work in my life unto good works and then serve him. If I get that backwards, by the way, a lot of churches, oh, I know how I'll get them to be more faithful. I'll give them a job. They only come once a week, but man, if I make them a Sunday school teacher, they'll come three times a week. That's backwards. You don't get a position because we're trying to get you to be faithful. You get you a position, a place of service, because you are faithful. Do you see that? Prayer does not increase your faith. A position or service doesn't increase your faith. These things I mentioned, they increase your faith. You know what will increase your faith? Faith Bible Institute. You know why? It gets you into the Word of God. And he's preaching, and he's teaching, and he's giving testimony, and you're moved to study. All of those increase your faith. And some of you just don't have time for it. Woo! Amen, amen, amen. Do you want your faith to increase? I'm just asking you the question. Amen. Sitting under preaching, listening, engaging, that increase your faith. Reading your Bible will increase your faith. Listening to the Bible will increase your faith. Studying your Bible will increase your faith. Reasoning with God's people will increase your faith. Hearing testimonies from God's people will increase your faith. I ask you this question. How many of those activities are you engaged in? Because if you're not engaged in very many of those, your faith is really not doing real well, is it? You're struggling in the area of faith and you wonder why. Trying to figure out what's wrong. I'll tell you what's wrong. You need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. This isn't about living a good life as I see it. This isn't about me being prosperous for me. Yay. No, it's about knowing God. That's what life is about, is knowing God and letting God flow through you. How's that happen? By faith. Happens by faith. If I want more faith, this is how you can get more faith. By the way, if any parent in here, do you want your kids to have faith? Do you want them to have faith? Let me tell you how they'll get faith. They'll get faith by, as we just read, by listening to testimonies from God's people, by reading the Word of God, by listening to the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, by sitting under preaching. That's why our kids never messed around during preaching. They'd get in trouble if they did. Why? Because I want them to listen. Why? They need faith. Ask my kids. They started nodding off. They're standing, buddy. Why? Because they got to listen. Why? That's how they get faith. I'm just kind of crazy about that, amen, in a good way, amen? And you have to have ears to hear the Word of God. Are you serious? Are you serious about faith? Are you serious about you getting faith? Are you serious about your family having faith? Are you serious about this world getting faith? That's the only thing that's going to fix it. It ain't Trump. Definitely ain't Harris. Amen. Listen, are you serious? That's what will help your coworkers. That's what will help whatever other group you're friends with. That's what will help your neighbors. That's what will help faith. They need faith, and you are able to help them get it. This way. Faith. You're going to need it first, though. Amen. And if you'll plug into these ways, it will come. Now, why should we want people to have faith? Without it, they can't be saved. But with it, they will be saved. If you have faith, you will be saved. If you have faith, you will be saved. Because faith connects you to the grace of God. And when the grace of God flows through faith unto you, it always creates a good work of God in the one it just came to. Always. If you have faith, you will be saved. By the way, as a parent, that's a blessing, isn't it? Here's the problem. If your kids don't have faith, they will go to hell. That's reality. But they're good people. They have good jobs, and they're nice, and they're really good at stuff. They're going to burn in hell without faith. They got to have faith. Amen. Well, amen. Without faith, or by faith, that we understand. By faith, we stand. When I walk in faith, I walk according to God's plan for my life. Without faith, again, I cannot please Him. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith is the starting point to life. No faith, no life. Faith is where the miracles happen. That's where it is. That's where people were healed. That's where people were like, couldn't hear, now can hear. Couldn't see, now can see. Couldn't walk, now can walk. Faith is where the miracle happens. You got to have it. I got to have it. I need more. Without faith, I'll say that I'm a mere mortal. Without faith, I'm no different than every other person on planet Earth that's lost and going to hell. I'm no different. But through faith, I can do all things. Amen. How's your faith today? Say, another week of tent meetings? Look at it this way. Another week of having an opportunity to gain faith. To be able to hear testimony. Have the Word of God preached. Have a bunch of people to reason with. I reason with all kinds of people around the tent. You can too. Just go talk to people. Go to them and say, and tell me how you got saved. Or why are you here? Where are you from? Oh, yeah. Well, tell me, how'd you get saved? Let me tell you how I got saved. Oh, you believe what? Tell me about that. How'd you come to that belief? Reasoning. That's how we gain faith. Sitting there and say, man, I've been falling asleep. Man, one night I'm up there
And I'm like, I'm getting tired. I'm like, oh no. Like, I don't want to be up here going, right? Well, that'd be bad. That'd be bad. Amen. So I was like, Lord, you got to help me stay awake. And I was real close to getting up and standing up. Amen. But I would have, not just because I would have been embarrassed. Amen. I want to be engaged. I want to be under the preaching. These are all faith-building activities. Are you engaged like that? If you are, your faith will increase. I know we're all busy. I know. Some of y'all probably are busier than me. Amen. And if that's true, God bless you. Amen. But make time every day to increase your faith. Every day of your life, you can go through one of these seven things for your faith to increase. And if you're too busy for that, you're too busy. Because we need faith. We need faith every day. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for this encouragement in this message. I'm thankful for it just because it's helped me to focus on what's most important. I'm thankful because it helps me to see what I need to focus on when I try to help others. They don't just need a plan that they can follow so that this works and that works. People around me need faith. My wife needs faith. My children need faith. My grandchildren need faith. Lord, the church members need faith. Lord, everyone I come in contact and talk with, Lord, the answer is faith. God, if they get faith, they'll get saved. If they don't have faith, they can't please you. But if they have faith, they can be grafted in. They can walk with you. You can talk with them. You can do miraculous things through their lives. God, if we'll sit under preaching, if we'll reason with people, if we'll study the Word, if we'll listen to the Word, if we'll read the Word, God, if we'll just engage in these activities and have ears to hear and not try to make it say something we want to say, but are just willing to listen, willing to hear from you, God, you'll give us faith. God, thank you for the simplicity of what it takes to get faith. Help us now, I pray. Do a great work in our midst. Lord, do a great work in the youth of our church. I thank you for Ryan and the other youth leaders that have a desire to see the youth helped. But what's going to help the youth is faith. It's not them being like us. It's not them being Baptists. It's not them being whatever. Though I believe that it'd be good if they were like us and Baptists. But the primary thing they need is to have faith. And if they'll have faith, the other things will come. God, help us with this. Help our church in this area. Help each of us, I pray. Might we see faith as primary and not secondary. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Pianist is going to play.